Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Don't Drink the Pickle Juice podcast. I'm Blessing Makosha Park, a future barrister, digital creator, and entrepreneur. I started this podcast because a lot of people see images of success and material wealth and idolize people who appear to have it. But the truth is that you have to be a beast to actually gain respect, wealth, and power. It requires you to advocate for yourself and push for only the best in your life, refusing the pickle juice and banking on yourself at every turn. I was inspired by the experiences of my friends and I as we pursue careers in areas like law, finance, and the creative industries, areas where there is a lot of opportunity for exploitation and an overwhelming pressure to just take whatever you can get. My hope with this podcast is to challenge this and make it clear that the difference between people who have what they want and those who don't is that those who do refuse the pickle juice. This first episode of the podcast begins with Nicki Minaj, and she inspired the entire podcast with her speech on drinking the pickle juice. Nicki Minaj is an icon not only for her music, but also for her business acumen and how she amassed a $100 million fortune in an industry where the women who went before her were never able to reach similar peaks of success and wealth, and where many of the men who went before her were also unable to meet the same peaks of success and wealth. My guest today is Lorraine Chimger, a future tech trainee at a Magic Circle law firm, a digital creator, and an entrepreneur. I wanted her to be the guest for this episode because of how similar our stories and career paths are. Both of us hail from Zimbabwe and arrived in England as immigrant children at a young age and found ourselves being tasked with fitting in, but also an aspiration to work in law, an area which traditionally was very underrepresented by Black British people, let alone Black first-generation immigrants. Lorraine and I are therefore always worried about drinking the pickle juice and trying our best to make our career moves without drinking the pickle juice at any point. In this episode, we'll be talking about Nicki Minaj's career and how she refused the pickle juice, all because she had a greater plan to dominate the hip-hop landscape and become a mogul like the kings of rap who came before her.
The first time I heard Nicki Minaj's mixtape in high school, I thought it was a badass.
Well, that's perfect. That takes us into the first part of our conversation. So this whole conversation about pickle juice, I mean, obviously it's the queen that inspired Don't Drink the Pickle Juice because of that iconic speech. But when she was putting out all of that content, you know, you said you remember hearing her in high school. What was it like for you being in high school? You said it made you feel badass, but do you remember feeling like, wow, this is really different. I've never heard this before.
Yeah, so remind me, when did the mixtape first come out, Itty Bitty Piggy in the Market? Oh, when was it? Like 29?
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, okay, so basically, a bit of context. Like, I'm a bit of a nerd, and I moved to England from Zimbabwe. And so I never really grew up here. And one of the things I struggled with really in school, because I was just from a very different background and culture, was not feeling Black enough. And I don't know if anyone else out there has ever been through that when you kind of like emigrate to England. So, you know, I was never like would fit in with the Black kids, and because, you know, that's a whole nother story and there's different intersectionalities there. So I never used to feel cool enough. But I remember the time we discovered that mixtape, it was kind of like I found my voice in a way to kind of bond with other people in high school. And the bars were so good. Like at that time, I was in year 9, so I would have been... Oh God, I would have been what, year 9, 15, 14, I think, at the time when you're just discovering yourself. And she was so empowering, you know, she wasn't like this rap women usually, especially black women, are so sexualized, but she owned her thing. And I just loved her bars. I was like, oh my goodness, who is this woman? And, you know, back in them days, we had MP3 players that would hold like 1 megabyte of songs. So, you know, you try and like, disclaimer here, maybe, may not, download stuff from the internet, try and get it. It was a really good time, really good time.
This is the part of the whole conversation about pickle juice that I wanted to have and why I wanted to start it with Nikki. I mean, obviously it's her words, but at the time that we were hearing her, that was, well, when we first heard her with Itty Bitty Piggy and all of those other mixtape songs, that was her on her own, generating all of that on her own. And she has said before, you know, she said since, she loved when she was an independent artist, because at that time she was able to reach, you know, she managed to reach you in Manchester, me in Bristol, people all over the world, all from Southside Jamaica, Queens, with an internet connection and a MySpace page. You know, that was all she needed. And it's interesting to see how even back then, when, you know, Twitter was just an egg, do you get my joke? So when Twitter was, you know, not really out there, you know, Nikki was one of the first artists on there. I'm so sorry, Mom, but I lied. I made a Twitter page in 2009 because I wanted to follow Nicki Minaj.
Who didn't lie back then? Come on. We're all updating MySpace and Tumblr. I think the first thing that I want to say about Nicki Minaj really is she was an innovator, not only for women, but an innovative musician, full stop. Like, she's not an entertainer. She's an artist. Like, you can tell she thought about it. Cause I remember thinking back, I was like, oh, you know, all those crazy costumes and all that kind of jazz. This woman, I believe, sat down with her vision board and her diary, thought out a 10-year plan. We might have laughed at the start, but she is iconic AF, right? And so I think I see a lot of myself in her and what she did, in that at first they'll laugh at you, then they'll copy you, and then deny you your Grammy.
Tell the story.
You know, like, Nicki Minaj is a black woman and she literally changed the game single-handedly. Like, of course, I'm not going to lie and be like, oh, I'm this like rap connoisseur and I'm listening to everything and I know every rap artist. But even for a mainstream artist, she literally just redefined the genre for what women were, because the last rapper that I can remember like that, and I would have been a bit too young to appreciate her in the fullness, but what comes to mind is Lil' Kim, but that was like the early 2000s. Right? And so you come in 09/10, Nicki Minaj comes through. She's not only doing this thing, she validated a couple of things. So going back to that story about not feeling black enough, is that I don't think I'm weird, actually. I'm a normal black woman, but we're often made to feel like, for example, oh, Lorraine, why do you go to art galleries or listen to classical music? What's wrong with you? It's like, but why can't black people like that? The point that I'm making is Nicki Minaj made it possible for black people to be avant-garde. She's the first person who came out and was like, yeah, if I want to wear pink hair and look like Frankenstein's bride while spitting lyrics, of course, why not? Because we exist.
Why can't I do that?
Exactly. So, you know, it's that conversation we were having earlier before the podcast, which is, you know, stop questioning. There's mediocre people out there doing it, but the difference is they're doing it. So especially as black women, we need to stop fearing and overthinking, oh, will people like this? Who will follow me? Who will resonate? And just do it. And I think that's what Nicki symbolizes for me. It's just that strength and conviction to know not only that A, you're talented, but B, you can pull it off in any, whichever way you so please, without any definitions.
That's the energy. And that's, you know, you said you felt like Nicki had sat down with her vision board and her diary and mapped out a 10-year plan. And that's exactly what she had done. And I'll put the clip in the podcast, but you can listen to her interviews, you know, 10, 12 years ago, where she said, you know, I have a plan. I want to be bigger than 50 Cent. I want to be bigger than Jay-Z. I want to be a mogul. And it's very powerful that she planned. You know, she said, all of these artists that came before me, you know, you referenced Lil' Kim. So, you know, Foxy Brown, Lil' Kim, all of these, you know, other female rappers who dominated in the 90s. by the midpoint of the early 2000s, they were all but gone. So the Grammys had even removed the female rap category. You know, there wasn't so much of an industry there anymore. The industry was very dead. But what Nicki was able to do was to differentiate what she had to what anyone else had ever done, and not only revive, but redefine the entire genre. And she had a plan to do that. You know, she talks about this being her time. One of her most iconic lines is, in just the nick of time, it dawned on me, I am Nicki Minaj and it's all on me. So she understood what her role was, at least at the start of her career. And she understood that, okay, if I don't go into these, if I'm not ready to turn down the pickle juice and say no to that deal or say no to that record label or say no to that collaboration, then all we'll ever have is pickle juice as women in this industry. And, you know, like you said, that power, just doing it, you know, it takes so much to actually step back and say, this isn't good enough for me. And sometimes people will look at you crazy and say, on what leg do you have to sign? You're not signed by a major. Yeah. You don't have that. You don't get to call any shots. And it's like, no, I'll start off calling shots so that I will always call the shots.
So I want to be the female 50, as in, you know, when it comes to how he became like a mogul,
right,
in a very short period of time. So I have a great team of people around me, and we're building the Nicki Minaj brand. So people see me on DVDs and they really think that I'm like, I'm on some crazy, you know, there's nothing stupid about me. Like, I'm very, very well prepared.
That's inspirational, because I honestly don't know if, I don't know. I just don't think that we're encouraged to really think like that.
One of the things I love about Nicki is, like, race aside and everything, she refuses to be mediocre. And if there's one thing we know about people who make us uncomfortable because they show us a mirror of how little we're doing, not in a bad way, is that people will attack you for it. But then on top of that, right, there's that whole other conversation of being Black and being a woman. People don't like an opinionated Black woman. So, you know, no wonder she's always been painted as the villain, in my opinion, for being too loud and too aggressive. But honestly, if Nicki was a white man, we'd all be like throwing, I don't know, Grammys at her and like just applauding every time she like poops or farts, you know, that kind of stuff, that ridiculous level. But because she was she dared to be outspoken, also in a very male dominated, maybe often misogynistic, kind of arena, she's always been seen as a villain. But actually, she's amazing. And like I said, I mean, compared to you, I don't think I'm like the biggest like rap head out there or whatever, but it's still easy to recognize someone who you admire. So for example, you know, I have many heroes, I read many books, you know, from like Marcus Aurelius, etc. When you see someone who operates at a level of excellence and has conviction in that excellence, it's hard not to admire. But at the same time, when you are that excellent in your field and what you do, you make people scared, because then they realize how mediocre they are, you know? And I think, unfortunately, for Nicki, she speaks her mind too much. And I don't think that should be a thing that's wrong, but she's spoken her mind too often, too much, that she's, again, like I said at the beginning, a villain when she shouldn't be. We should be praising her. She literally changed the game, because like I said, I mean, again, I would have been young at the time when she first came out, so I might not have been as aware of other female rap artists just before her. But honestly, I can't think of anyone else like Nicki Minaj. You can fight me on this. I think she is the best, even now, even if other people are winning stuff. I won't name any names, but she is the best. She is the GOAT.
Amen. Pray. That's the truth. The thing as well, I really wanted to highlight is when you said about navigating a male-dominated industry, one of the things that she said that inspired her to have these mogul ambitions is she saw with Lil Wayne how hard he worked. Mm-hmm. And also when she found out how much money he could make and was making, that's her mentor. And so she sat in the room whilst he was talking about how the money he's making, the deals he's making, the moves he's making. And she says, you know, when Wayne comes on and navigates like a boss, you know, everyone has respect for it. But with me, everyone wants to be like, oh, we've heard about Nicki Minaj, you know, like she says in the intro. And that's the thing I think we have to detach ourselves from. And I definitely can see from the perspective of, you know, as a stan, as I am, you know, that is something throughout her journey, Nikki has gone back and forth with. On the one hand, she really doesn't actually care whether or not people think she's a villain, but she's frustrated because people are so focused on demonizing her, they don't listen and therefore end up in bad situations and then they blame her for it. So, you know, Nicki Minaj gets blamed saying, you know, she doesn't support female rappers. She doesn't collaborate with female rappers. Now people are celebrating, you know, a rise of female rappers, but every single one of the highest charting artists, female rap artists beyond Nicki Minaj in 2020 was negotiating their way out of exploitative 360 contract deals.
Honestly, honestly. And Nicki Minaj is out here laughing in her mansion.
Do you know what I mean? 100 million up.
No, I was just going to say, and also the only thing I don't, like I said, I mean, like when I listen to rap, I won't profess to be like the expert here, but I think one thing even I've noticed as a kind of, let's say, mainstream listener is how she's literally been essentially blackballed, and she had to go out and do her own thing, like start her own podcasts. And even when she's validly calling out how she's underappreciated, everyone's like, oh, she's so ungrateful, why is she complaining, blah blah blah, but she's literally saying facts. And what I don't agree with is when someone like Kanye, I mean at the beginning anyways, before he went way off the rails and the Kool-Aid, is everyone be like, oh my goodness, Kanye is a visionary, he's so smart. But like Nicki Minaj literally did not even a fraction of what Kanye's done, but we still demonize her. But it's the thing is, Nicki realizes her worth. And I think it's so true when you say, you know, all these female rappers who are in 360 deals now that they're trying to claw their way out of, is they didn't recognize their value in the same way that Nicki does. And that's why they hate her. Second of all, it's so funny how like all these rappers will diss Nicki, but then beg for a feature. Just saying, you know? And lastly, I'll say, I think from the top of my head, Nicki Minaj is the only female rapper that I can think of off the top of my head that Beyonce has co-signed. So I'll end it there.
Well, she has given Meg the co-sign now.
True, Meg. That's another conversation. Yeah, that's, new album. But
that's a different one. No, I
and then though, before then, I think to my mind, Nicki was the only one. And Beyonce doesn't just like fool around with any other person to co-sign on that. So, you know, and to me, that says a lot, just saying.
It's true. I saw them in Paris, actually, when they performed together for the first time in Paris. I didn't even know Nicki was going to come. And then Beyonce was like, oh, Nika. And then she came out like, and I was like, ah! I was passed out. Throughout this season and all of the different episodes, we'll be talking about, you know, the pickle juice, and tends to be the pickle juice is, you know, bad bargains. You know, when we talk about contract, bad bargain and all of that stuff, you know, signing a bad deal isn't illegal and the court's not going to stop you. You know, if you get yourself into a bad deal, that's, as far as your legal standpoint goes, that's all you.
Yeah.
So knowing your value isn't just this, you know, feel good thing that Nicki Minaj says and then puts on a t-shirt. No, it's essential because literally there is no excuse for ignorance.
No, there isn't.
And that's what people need to, and I think because the public panders so much and because people can, you know, do anything, but as long as people feel entertained and they get the clout for it, you know, they don't necessarily see what the importance of actually knowing your value just at a core level. Like, not social media is helpful, of course, it's an excellent distributor, you know, that's how Nicki got here in the first place, but it's not about that. It was about valuing your product in the first place, so that even if it was MySpace that you were putting your music out, or it's, I'm just trying to, well, Spotify, I don't know.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, you just know from the jump what it's worth. And that's what, you know, I just want to say quickly, you know, the second episode is going to be about Nipsey Hussle, and we'll talk about that there, but that's what Nipsey understood. And even when he was not signed, he was selling his music. You know, I think he sold his album for $100 a piece.
Wow.
So you can recognize your value all on your own, and there's no excuse for ignorance. But what were you saying?
Yep. No, that's the thing I was going to say. And I think the reason why Nicki Minaj is so great is because she recognized her value from the get-go, which means, you know, obviously, I don't know if you're familiar with 360 deals. Essentially, you sign on to a record label, generally speaking. So I'm being very general here. You sign on to a record label, maybe it might be for like, I don't know, 5-10 year term, whatever it is. They'll agree to finance you as long as you put out a certain number of albums. And even when you release those albums, they own the master. So for example, if you think about buying a car, just because you drive the car, they still own the car and they can take it away from you at any time. And even if you still want to drive the car, they can take it away from you and own the car instead of you. So it's in their name. So number one, there's that. Number two, usually with these 360 deals, there's so many other things that the label might make you do to make sure that you're as successful as possible, especially if you're a money making cash cow for them. Basically, they'll invest a lot more in you. So you might have to be forced to do brand deals that you may not want to do. You might be forced to, you know, to collaborate with artists that you may not want to. My point that I was going to make is the reason why Nicki Minaj is so great. She never had that pressure on her. She was just herself. And I think to your point as well earlier, I think in this day and age, if you're an up and coming artist, I know it's really hard when you're like chasing your dream and someone comes to you and says, okay, fine, I'll finance it. But actually, you have no excuse with all these YouTube like expose and dramas coming down nowadays. Right. You really have to be careful out here. Like you can't claim ignorance, because, you know, I think who was it I was listening to the other day? I love watching YouTube drama. But it was someone breaking down the beef between, I think it was the City Girls, who basically did a madness, dissed Nicki Minaj, then tried to come back and ask for a feature.
I said, I've got those receipts.
You know, that's what desperation does. You end up fighting with people for no reason. And instead of actually focusing on your craft, like Nicki was able to, you're out here picking fights for a cosign just so you can please your record label.
Exactly. And that's how important refusing the pickle juice is. You know, you just have to know better than what's in front of you. You have to have that long vision. You know, you need to be able to look at your decisions and understand their impact 10 years from now, which is exactly what Nicki Minaj did. I think sometimes people are convinced that Nicki is some sort of wicked voodoo witch, you know, doing something crazy. And it's like, no, she didn't do anything.
No, she saw her value. She saw her own value. And that's what I was saying before at the beginning. People hate it when you have self-conviction, not in a bragging way or like egotistical way, right? There's a what I call quiet confidence. You need to have a quiet confidence about your craft and what you're passionate about.
Mm.
Yeah.
You need to have, and you know, that the thing you just said about quiet confidence is very important, because I think sometimes people think with celebrities, especially rap stars, that because they present to us as very, you know, they're loud, they're braggadocious, we think that they just wake up every day like shouting, I'm the queen of rap. Like, no, they're normal human beings. They just know this is performance art to them. But, you know, in the studio, when it's like 6-7 dudes, why is it that Nicki Minaj has somehow managed to be, if not physically in the studio, at least working with these artists remotely, and managed to have that confidence in herself in rooms full of men? That's because she has just an understated confidence in herself, no matter which setting that she's in. And that's why it really doesn't matter which men you throw at her on a track. She'll eat them up, because she doesn't need anything other than herself, a pen and a piece of paper. That's all she needs, because she knows what she can do. And, you know, she talks about when she first signed with Lil Wayne, he would call her and Drake up. So her and Drake would just have to go to the studio wherever Wayne was. And he'd be like, he'd get them to write 4 or 5 verses there and then in the studio, then get in the booth and record them. And then, you know, they had to do that every like day after day, because there is no time to wait. You know, there is no time to go on Instagram Live and do a rant about your feelings, you know, when you're rapping. You've got to write your bars and record them. And it shows in the difference. You know, people may look at Drake is also someone that's featured on this season, but people may look at people like Drake and Nicki and think, oh, they just got it all so easy, because artists now get it easy and people know that.
Yeah.
So people know that people are making deals with the devil. So that's why when they see $100 million next to Nicki Minaj's name, they think, oh, she just had a record label, gave her that money. And it's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Carefully.
I know, right? Because, you know, nowadays as well, you don't even have to be that talented to be famous. Especially, like, look, as long as you've got the right lace front, the right length of nails, sing about your private parts enough, you know, and look good enough to
read. It's aesthetic.
It's there's no substance. Like, I don't really listen to that many new rappers nowadays. Even like with Megan Thee Stallion, I loved her when she first came out, but even with this new album, I was like, don't sell yourself, sweetie. It's like, literally stop singing about the same stuff and actually come with the energy that made you famous in the first place. But it's really hard nowadays. Yeah. Sorry, that's another episode, but yeah, you know, that's a really different conversation. And I think Nicki came at that right, like, how would you say it, like, her peak point, where social media wasn't a thing, but it was a thing enough for her to be able to leverage to make her name. And like you said, it wasn't a distraction. You know, you don't have time to be like Twitter fingers and like ranting on IGTV or whatever the kids do nowadays. She just had to focus on her craft and write music. But then also on top of that, she's just talented. I think she's a very talented lyricist. She's clearly very intelligent and very smart. I always say you need to be intelligent to be a good rapper, because some of the wordplay, historical connections that you sometimes make, etc., you just have to be a very intelligent, savvy person.
And that's something that she said as well. So the question I want to ask you, and I want to ask everyone listening, and use the hashtag don't drink the pickle juice online to share your responses, and I'll read them out in the episodes, but could it be done again in this climate, that somebody finds a way to leverage something like Nicki did with social media to build genuine interactions with fans that are going to last a lifetime?
Yes.
Do you think it could happen again?
Without a doubt, yes. The difference is, stop following the crowd. We live in an age where it's very easy to be missold a dream. It's very easy to scroll through Instagram and think that this is the facts and this is reality. But what you don't know, maybe they've just logged off their IGTV and burst into tears because they're depressed with themselves, you know, that kind of thing. So I think you really need an artist who is got a self-belief, talent and balance to know that, whoa, this is the internet, this is the blogs, but this is my craft, and I'm going to fight for what I believe in, because I know I'm talented enough to do it and not jump into deals. And also nowadays, I don't even understand if this is a controversial opinion, but I think if you're talented enough, you wouldn't need to sign a 360 deal. You know why? Because you'll make a way. This now more than ever, you know, you could make a YouTube channel, you can make a SoundCloud, you could self-promote, you can make a podcast, etc., right? Yep. So you need to be just talented.
The problem is, by the time the girls have realized that they're already a couple years into their 360, and then they realize that if they were to go set up that YouTube channel now, the company gets the profits.
Exactly. And I just think nowadays we just make untalented but good looking people famous. So, you know,
basically, I mean, they didn't need to be that good looking anymore. Good looking, no problem with the right dog.
Exactly. And if everyone's writing your lyrics, is that really rap though?
It's not. And I'm not going to get my No Ghostwriter hat on, but all of the No Ghostwriter fam who are listening to this right now know exactly what my feelings are on that. I mean, it's suggested in the name No Ghostwriter, but
there's no problem being an entertainer, but then don't come at Nicki on the internet going, oh, I'm a true artist. Shut up. Like,
I think at the end of the day, the power of Nicki refusing the pickle juice, and you know, what's crazy is that she's the only woman that we're talking about on this season. And that's not because I don't like women, but that is because I could not find another woman in hip hop that didn't drink the pickle juice, because they did. And that's why they're not here. Yeah. So at the end of the day, when people talk about, oh, Nicki Minaj, she just did like these Lil Kim, Foxy, whatever, whatever. Look at the facts. All of those women drank pickle juice. Nicki came into the game, looked at the desolate landscape,
Yeah.
Started building her hype, building her fan base, like all of these other new girls did. And that's something I really want to always focus on. You know, what you said earlier about, you know, you could do it with a YouTube channel. You, if you're really that talented, you don't need the 360. That's the gag, because record labels switched their strategy. So back in the day, you know, we all, you remember when Justin Bieber used to make those little guitar videos, and then Usher found him, and then like, oh, the days of being discovered are gone. What happens now is record labels want you to do half the work, and then they come in and get you on Jimmy Fallon. The point is, the girls don't understand. I feel it's like this, and this is why, again, you know, don't drink the pickle juice, people, because what ended up happening, it's kind of like this Disney princess scenario. So once upon a time, there was a little rap princess called Onika Mirac, and she was the best rap princess in all the land. And then, you know, these wicked witches wanted to get all of her rap princess powers. So they kept trying to offer her poisoned apples, whether that was collaborations designed to sabotage her or female rappers signed just to diss her, which has been confirmed by different rappers like Lady Leisha and Cupcake, that they were offered that deal.
Yeah.
But it could never be done. And then, so what the wicked witches started doing is pretending to people that they could sell, you know, this rap princess's powers to them. All you have to do is X, Y, and Z. Sign on the dotted line and we'll make you Nicki Minaj. We'll give you the writers, we'll give you the hair, we'll give you the budget, we'll give you the cars, we'll give you the diamonds. You know, it'll work. And then so the girls were like, yay! And then they sold away their hard work, their actual quality content. They sold it away for this quote unquote Nicki Minaj package. But then the gag at the heart of it all is that it was never the wigs, and it was never the cars, and it was never the chains, and it was never the ass, and it was never the anything. It was the fact that she loves rap and she believed in it enough to make so much money that she could buy the hair, the chains, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're basically selling these girls' dreams that they can be the Mirage of Minaj.
Right, Mirage, that's a real surname, Onika Mirac. So they thought that they could be a Mirage of Mirac the Minaj.
But that's the thing about talent. People will copy you, but you'll never be the original. That's the thing. There's a book I was reading, like, I think it's Carl Newport, which is basically like, be so good that they can't ignore you. Even when they try to cancel Nicki Minaj, they actually can't cancel her because she's so authentic. She is just herself. Whereas I, no offense to all the rappers out here who are famous nowadays, but to me, they all got the pink print from Nicki. Every one of them, right. I can see Nicki in what they do, the crazy styles, whether it's an ad lib that they have in their music, whatever. But that's what I'm saying from the beginning, right? You need to be quietly confident in your talents and not let people water you down with their pickle juice. Because as soon as they do that, you give them your power. Nicki never did that. So even if the industry, quote unquote, hates her right now, whatever nonsense they want to bring up, you can't deny that she's talented, that she's great.
And that's it. I'm so glad that you said that, you know, and I'm so glad that we've managed to hit on this whole topic of pickle juice so well. The Mirage of Minaj, I think, is a real way of summing up the pickle juice that a lot of these women are being offered in female rap right now. And it's just not even just female rap, you know, it's rap period. It's hard, I think, with men sometimes, because I don't know how to explain, but because the world, it's a man's world. When a man goes broke, or like you see another rapper's gone broke, it's like, oh, another rapper went broke. Like, you just don't think about it. But with Nicki, because she never did, it's almost the opposite. People were like, Nicki Minaj is still rich. Like, so this year, the stats came out for streaming services, and with the exception of Apple Music, which I think had a distribution deal with Megan, Nicki Minaj was the most streamed female rapper on every single platform in 2020 with no album. She hasn't released an album for 2 years. And I saw people on Twitter like confused. They're like, the Barb's are making this up. This is a fake tweet. And then it's like, no, she just is.
And so. you know,
and that's what not drinking the pickle juice would get you. And I just want more people to believe in themselves.
Amen.
Just in, if you take this scenario, the mirage of Minaj, and you apply it to any other industry that anybody listening to this is trying to navigate, you know, you have to look at the finer print and think of yourself 10 years from now. Are you drinking pickle juice? And, you know, if you are drinking pickle juice, look, if you're in the deep depths of a bad 360, I'm not going to lie to you. The pickle juice, to stop drinking it, it's going to take some time. You're probably going to have to wean yourself off and make some concessions. But not all of us, you know, the beauty of life, and this is why I think Nikki talked about being an independent artist and enjoying it so much. But the beauty of life is that you can just scrap it and start again.
Yeah.
And that's what Michelle Obama said it as well. What did she call it? The pivot.
Yeah.
But girl, you can just scrap it and start again.
If I tell you how many like little mini breakdowns I have in pivot, like in a month, you know, it's fine.
Every month normal, I pivot.
You know?
But it's okay. You know, and that's, you know, Nikki's got this line where she says, it was back in 07, did a couple of tapes, made a couple DVDs, made a couple mistakes, didn't know what I was doing, so I put on a cape. Now it's which world tour should I go on today? See, you told me I would lose, but I won. I might cop a million Jimmy Choos just for fun, because bitches couldn't take away what's in me. Australia, Sydney, might run out in Disney, out in LA with Lindsay.
Wow.
But the point is that she was like just doing whatever the hell she was doing in the beginning. You know, if you look at early Nicki Minaj, this random, there's this one video she did dressed as Superwoman with blue contact lenses. And then there's this other one where she's like got like a tutu on. Like she just went with whatever until she found what works.
This is what I was saying in our conversation earlier before the podcast, which was, you know me, I love a little self-help book. I love reading about productivity and mindset. And when you've read enough of these books, there's always a running theme. And one of the themes that they talk about is, don't be prescriptive at the beginning. You need to just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And I think because Nikki had that freedom, she experimented. And the fun, like, you know, the gag is, everyone's trying to sell her experimental image when she's evolved way beyond that. You know, when you just work on your craft, you're not held back by what people think you should or shouldn't look like. You will excel to a level where they can't even resell you, even if they try. That's the mirage.
Even if they try. You're so right. Oh, well, thank you so much, Lorraine. This has been such a great episode. And I'm just really grateful for how quickly you've taken on to the Don't Drink the Pickle Juice world and universe. And you were the perfect first guest. Thank you so much also for showing so much love to the queen. The Barbs are going to want to tell you how amazing you are. So can you please tell the people where they can find you? And yeah, let us know all your different handles so that we can show you support and love as well.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me today and to all the Barbs. You can find me on Instagram at Lorraine Chimga, which is one word, LORRAINE. And then because my Zimbabwean surname, broop, broop, that everyone pronounces wrong, it's CHIMBGA. And the same thing on YouTube as well, where I talk about all things law, productivity, and personal development with other random stuff in there, which is why I'm here. But thank you for having me today. I'm a trademark the Mirage of Minaj after this.
You better, because I will if you don't.
You know, we should just do a joint trademark, because you know this has been an amazing first episode, and I'm sure Blessing's already kind of summarized this, but like, don't drink the pickle juice and don't let people make you forget who you are.
Amen to that. Use hashtag don't drink the pickle juice to talk about anything we discussed in the podcast online. In the next episode, we'll be talking about the Slauson Avenue mogul Nipsey Hussle with another special guest. This episode was presented and produced by Blessing Makosha Park and powered by Transmission Roundhouse.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.